Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Just happy to be here, checking out the new building. It's awesome. Are you ready for the word? Can you declare out loud, today my heart is open. My ears are alert. To grow and change in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a seat? So we're doing a new theme at the moment, revive. And when I think about the concept or the word revive, my thoughts go automatically to faith, to grace. Sorry, my faith is all over my lips today, but I go automatically to grace. I think for God to revive somebody, or for God to revive our soul, revive us through salvation, revive us through just the Holy Spirit moving in our lives or in our prayer life, to me, that's the grace of God. And I understand the grace of God every time I reflect on what I'm saved from. Are you like that? When we reflect, I think sometimes the worst life you've had makes you appreciate the grace of God all the more. And every time I reflect on what God has saved me from, He just, that revitalizes my soul. And I just feel revived within my inner man, that God will revive a person who thinks life is at its end. How amazing. That God will revive a broken heart. That God will revive hope where there is hopelessness. That God will revive a person's life eternally. Oh, the grace of God. Oh, the grace of God. I just want to pray before we get into this today. Father God, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your grace. By grace, we are saved through faith. And God, when I think of you and who you are, perfect, wonderful, powerful, majestic, creator of my life and all things, and when I think of you, Father, I just go, thank you for your grace, that you would look at me, that you would look at us here, and your grace is sufficient for us. Your grace reaches down to us today and gives us the 10th and the 20th opportunity. Father God, your love is compelling to us today. And Father, we just say, oh, the grace of God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I want to look at a story in the Bible that we've probably all heard of, the story of Rahab. And I want to look at this story and look at the grace of God through this. So in Joshua 2, 1 to 15, this is what it says. Now Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to a house of a harlot named Rahab. That's a good title. And they lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I do not know where they are from, were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut, when it was dark, that the men went out. Where the men went to, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them amongst the stalk and the flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the man pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, they shut the gate again. Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you this land, that the terror of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, who you utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God of heaven above. This is what happens when miracles happen in our lives. People look at your life and they acknowledge that God is the God of heaven above and that he is the God of earth beneath. Now, therefore, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you also will show kindness to my father's house and give me a true token. And spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the man answered her, our lives for yours, if none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window. I tell you what, I read that story and I think to myself, the grace of God. The grace of God. Rahab was a prostitute. Yet by her acknowledging the call of God, the grace of God saved her. Can I say to you today, sometimes it's not about reflecting on your past. It's not about where your mind wanders. It's not about what was in your heart this morning. It's simply about, would you turn your heart to God and allow his grace come and transform your life? You know, even if you're a believer here this morning, this is something I do regularly. I regularly turn my heart once again towards God. And I say, God, would your grace just wash over my life today. Because if you're a believer, sometimes this isn't about salvation for us. This is about us being revived. This is about us submitting humbly to God and saying, by your grace, you wash me clean every day, Lord God. And I thank you for this. And once again, I'm going to come to you every day. I'm going to bow my knee and humble myself before you because you are the God of the heavens. You are the God of this earth. And you are the God of my life, and I'll remind my mind, I'll remind my heart, I'll remind my soul, I'll remind my actions and everything I do and say to line up with the word of God that I will look like a son or a daughter of God. Oh, the grace of God. Isn't it just amazing? Romans 6:14 says, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. I love that, you know, and the funny thing about this story is it's an Old Testament story. So we have grace in the Old Testament. You know, people think that there's in the New Testament is where grace comes in because of other scriptures in the Bible. No, God's a God of grace. God's not in heaven going, well, hold on a moment. We've got another 100 years to go before we flick over to the New Testament. That's not what God's dialogue in heaven is. God is a God of grace. And whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, your past, your future, your present, no matter what, he is a God of grace for you. No matter if you're the goodest sinner or the worst sinner, it doesn't matter if you just came out of Woodford Jail today. It doesn't matter if you're like me and you grew up in the church. God is a God of grace and his grace is sufficient for you and for me. The grace of God. Even in the Old Testament, we see God's grace supersede the law. That's what happens here, is you've got the law, but the grace of God is so powerful, even the law that could save a man if it was 100% abided by, the grace of God will supersede that and cut through anything. There is no point in which God's grace will lose its effectiveness, its significance, or its power in our world. There is no point. There is no wrongdoing so bad where grace isn't sufficient. Listen to this. Rahab was the great-great-grandmother of King David. And from the line of Rahab, if that shocked you, comes the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you thought he couldn't use you. And here he is setting up our Lord Jesus Christ through a prostitute. Come on, the grace of God is sufficient. Rahab, the prostitute from Jericho, partook in the inheritance of the Israelites and was part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Let me say that there is no one, that there is no thing, there is no past, there's no upbringing, there's no wrongdoing that can stop the grace of God being extended to anybody. When you acknowledge God and trust him with your life like Rahab did, God will come and he will transform you. Listen to me. He doesn't just forgive you. He will transform you like clay on the potter's wheel. He will take your life and what you look at your life and you might see a miserable life. He will reform you into the person he formed you as before you were born. He will reform you. He will re-bless you and bless you and he will favor you. He will give you your giftings. They will come back up in your life, in your heart, in your mind, and in your soul. He will give you a purpose that you never knew you had before. And if you've been a Christian for a long time, don't think that this is finished. Don't for a moment think you're giving your heart to God and you don't need the grace of God. Because I don't know about you, but I've been living for 40 years and every day I realize I need the grace of God. Every day the enemy tries to come and take the dreams out of my heart and out of my soul and out of my mind. He tries to come and steal and kill me and destroy me. But every day the grace of God is sufficient for me if I continue to run to him. And you can do the same, amen. Can we give God a massive shout right now? The grace of God. Ephesians 2:8, for the grace, by the grace you've been saved through faith. Salvation isn't the full stop. Salvation's the beginning. Salvation is the cross, and the cross isn't the full stop. The cross is when time is divided and a new beginning happens. The full stop, in fact, is lifted at the cross so that our eternity and faith in Jesus can continue. Can I say to you, salvation is not your full stop moment achieved and done what I need to do. God's a great God. Thank you, God, for your salvation. I will be with you in heaven. You know, that's not what the cross is about. The cross was a moment where Jesus took it on his shoulders so that we could have an eternal life. Let me tell you something. Eternal life starts now. It started yesterday when you gave your life to God. It started that very moment that you saw the cross for you. And by the grace of God, through your faith in Jesus, you gave your heart to him. That was the day your eternity of purpose and of hope and of being began for your life. Please, no matter your age in this place, can I just say to the Christians, the full stop, pick it off that page and throw it away. The enemy tries to bring a full stop back for you. Oh, I'm too old, or I've done this before. I've served in the church before, and now it's the young people's turn. It's not the young people's turn. They're going to take it off you for sure. But it's your moment to rise up and show them what you learnt in the last 20, 30 years. King David, one of the model worshippers that we model worship off today, the one known to have the heart after God, also in the lineage of Jesus Christ. David was a great, great grandson of Rahab. He was also a murderer. He was also an adulterer. And he repented. He poured his heart out to God, then he experienced the grace of God that transformed him, redeemed him, and allowed his story to teach us how to worship and to praise God, to teach us how to get back up again. to teach us that we are human beings and we do really bad things all the time. But he taught us that when you just submit your heart to God, sometimes you need someone to show you for sure. Sometimes you need someone to remind you for sure. But when you do and you humble yourself before God, he shows us what God will do through our lives. You know what? That story of David in the Bible, that's not just for David. You know, never ever read the Bible and just go, what wonderful stories, what wonderful people. The reason why those stories and those people are in the Bible is because they were real life people. They struggled with what we struggle with. They wake up every morning and have to conquer doubt before they even get out of bed. They wake up in the morning and had to fight for their faith every single day. David had to do this. And in a moment of relapse, he slept with his best mate's wife, and then he made sure that he was killed out on the battlefield. Now, think about this moment of relapse. It wasn't quite 5 minutes, was it? He had to actually plan for her husband to be murdered on the battlefield. He had to plan the whole moment. And sometimes when we get into this season of life where we run from God, or we just realize, man, I haven't read my Bible for a month. I haven't even prayed in 2021 yet. Or it takes for the church to have a church-wide prayer meeting for me to pray. It takes for the church to have a gathering together after the service before I'll do anything with a life group. Or it takes for a really bad thing to happen in my world before I'll run and acknowledge God. It took for me to get cancer for me to acknowledge or even think, is God real? It took for my husband or for my wife to walk out on me, for me to call out to God and say, God, would you help and strengthen me to be the man or woman that I need to be? Sometimes these David moments are more than 5 minutes. It takes us about 5 minutes to read that story. But let me tell you, this went on for a little while in David. And no matter how far you feel like you've gone from God, let me tell you, he's just one word, he's one thought away. He's one step of faith away. And if you would just step out at any moment in your season, maybe you've never given your heart to God, maybe you're here today for whatever reason, and you've never acknowledged God. Maybe you're wondering as if, what's this new church here in Caboolture? You know, is Caboolture worthy of a church? Absolutely. Is Caboolture worthy of such a good church? Absolutely. And maybe you're here and you know what? It might feel like a lifetime. Christian, it might feel like you've just backslidden, or your life's just not that good. You're not worthy to call yourself a Christian at work because of the way you work, the way you talk, the way you behave. Can I just tell you this? Don't let the enemy take that moment and rob you of the joy of your salvation. Because just one thought, God, your faith, your grace, I place my faith in you. It's sufficient for me today. That one moment right there will supersede everything that up to that moment in your world. Do you believe that this morning, church? All of us, the grace of God is for all of us who acknowledge and give our lives to him. James 4:6 says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And that's really what this is about, isn't it? It's about every moment in our lives, just humbling ourselves before God. Just saying, God, you know what? I thought I had it together. I thought I was good. I thought I'm okay. But I just humble myself and I just say, I'm not. Would you just come? Just that one little prayer of humility. When we humble ourselves before God, we access this grace that transforms us. It's because of God's grace. Listen, being healed is not your right. Having God do something miraculous in your world that we expect from God, I don't know, am I the only one that expects God to do amazing things? It's not your right. It's not your right, it's the grace of God. It's part of our inheritance as being sons and daughters of God. But never wake up and go, why did God allow this to happen? As though God's your puppet and there's this expectation of he should fulfill your desire. He will fulfill your desire. The scripture says that by the grace of God. Everything is by the grace of God. Your healing today is by the grace of God. And I think sometimes if we can position ourselves to understand that, we then position ourselves in humility. And that is what gives us access to that grace of God. And you receive your healing. We receive forgiveness by the grace of God. We don't receive another chance. We receive a new life by the grace of God. A whole new life. A whole new life. When we gave our hearts to God, we received a new life. Those negative thoughts, those negative words, the destructive thoughts that you have, the self-image issues, they're all the old life. Don't let the enemy bring them into your new life. And every time he tries, remember the grace of God that gave you a new life. Amen. Freedom from our past, God's strength, our hope, our joy, our peace. John 1:16 says, and from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. In our minds, in our hearts, our emotions, our standing before God, our righteousness, we can be transformed into the image of God as you and I were originally created to be. By the grace upon grace, the glory to glory, the fullness of God. Yeah, I just want to finish with this story. Has anyone been watching The Chosen? How good's The Chosen? Just make sure you're paying it forward. In the last episode of The Chosen, have you watched the last episode? Yeah, go home and watch that. It was brilliant. In the last episode, there's this little story, and Jesus asked James and John to prepare a field. And so they went out and they prepared a lot of hard work. They had to dig up the soil and plant the seeds. And so they went out and they prepared this field, and the whole time they had no idea why they were doing it. So they planted veggies, and later that night, Jesus took them and the 12 disciples to visit a house. And so they rock up at this house. No one's got any idea what Jesus is doing. I know I'm giving away a lot of this episode, but you can go watch that for yourselves. And they went to this house, and the house and the field belonged to a Samaritan man who recently thought that he had killed a guy after robbing him for food and money. Now, Jews and Samaritans historically hated each other. There's a whole story there. And if James and John knew this, they would never have done the field. If they knew what Jesus was asked, they wouldn't have done it. I wonder today what God has asked you, and because you know why he's asked, we say no to God. But let me tell you, God asks us to do things. God places people and purposes across our path for a reason. And if we choose whether we will do what God asks or not, we'll be like the Israelites and we'll miss out on the great victories that God has in our life. Following God isn't about choosing every moment of the journey. When we chose God, we chose all of him. Amen. And we chose everything he asks, everything he says, everything that's in the word. It's truth for our life and will only bring good. So that night, the Samaritan told Jesus what he had done, and he couldn't believe that these Jews blessed him, that they blessed him with the field. Then they came with dinner. The Jews made the Samaritan man dinner. They sat down and gave him the night's time, and they ate with him and his family. And this Samaritan man was just blown away. Jesus' words towards him were full of love, full of compassion, and full of grace. Jesus is a Jew. Jesus shouldn't have even been there. He was in trouble for being there. All the Samaritans, they were in Samaria. Like, this is really not good. And here he is with this Samaritan. Here he is with this guy on the streets of Caboolture. Here he is with the next door neighbor that their kids egged your house. Here he is with the people that you gave Easter eggs to and they just didn't care at all. With the guy you told about Jesus and he just slammed you in his face. Here's Jesus with that person, full of love, full of compassion, and full of grace. The Samaritan man, realizing who Jesus was, he started crying while he understood who stood before him. And that the Messiah's heart was for him in spite of what he had done, in spite of who he was, in spite of his self-worth. He's the Messiah, full of grace. The Samaritan looked at Jesus and he said, "What do you want? What do you want from me?" And Jesus replied, "I want you to go to church. Listen to the teachings." And I love this part. This touched me. And he said, "Allow it affect your heart." Have you ever been to church and just got nothing from the day, from the message? The key to going to church isn't about attendance. It's about allowing it affect your heart. This is what Jesus said to the Samaritan. Then the Samaritan said, "And then what? I don't know what to do with that. Like, then what?" And Jesus replied, "Go, tell others the grace of God." The grace of God. God doesn't require anything from us other than a repentant heart. The grace of God. Any single one of us in this room, myself included, we would have judged Rahab, wouldn't we? The prostitute. That's how the Bible describes her, Rahab the prostitute. We would have judged her. Or David the adulterer and the murderer. Pretty sure we would have judged him. The Samaritan that we hated for generations. Mum and dad would never even go to Samaria, then alone go to one of their houses and show mercy and grace. For generations, we've hated these people. We would have judged what Jesus did and the disciples that day. We would have judged with the grace of God. Maybe you've lived a life like one of these three. Maybe you feel your life is worthless or that you are worthless. I want to remind you today, the grace of God is here for you. Can we all just close our eyes and lift our hands for a moment? Father, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for your grace. Jesus, I want to thank you for your example. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you inhabit us, that you give us the strength and the power to be these overcomers. Father, today, we thank you for your grace and we submit and humble ourselves again to you. Every day we do this, Lord God. Every day we wake up as human beings. We need your grace. We need your grace. Your word says it's sufficient for all of us, not just for me or that person. It's for all of us. And so, Father, because it's sufficient, we run to it. And we say, "Well, it's sufficient. I need it again and again and again and again. Your grace is sufficient for me." Father God, I just pray for people in this place today that don't know you. Maybe they've never given their hearts to you. Father, I'm about to offer an invitation and pray with them. Would you just do a mighty work right now? Father, your word says that your Spirit draws people to the Father. In this very moment, Holy Spirit, we thank you that you are at work. Thank you, Jesus. You know, while every eye is closed, every head's bowed, if you're in this place this morning and you've never, ever given your heart to Jesus, Can I tell you, it's the best decision of your whole life. And I hope today through the message that you've been able to see that this isn't about you being perfect. It's not about your past. It's about what you're going to do right now with this invitation. The grace of God is so sufficient for you. It's so powerful today. It's so real and tangible that in just one moment of you giving your life to God, He will start to transform you instantly. Instantly, you'll become a daughter or a son of God. Instantly, you'll have an eternal life with Him and with all of us, a great eternal life. And instantly, you'll receive the Holy Spirit, and He will strengthen you and give you power to overcome everything that's currently in your world and every challenge that you have. How good's that? That's a pretty good guarantee. And if that's you here this morning, you've never given your heart to God, I'm just going to ask you to be bold. No one's looking around, but I do want to pray with you. So could you just real boldly lift your hand nice and high, just so I can see who I'm about to pray with. I see your hands there. God bless you. Nice and high so I can see. It's a bit dark, so I need you to help me out this morning. Is there anyone else? I'm just going to look around one more time. Just want to take this moment. It's a very important moment. You can put your hands down there. Thank you. Thank you, God. Father God, I just pray for these people that lifted their hand today. Father, you saw the heart open to you. That's a heart of faith. And so, Father, with that today, we just thank you that your grace is sufficient, and through that, by that grace, and through that faith this morning, they are sons and daughters of God. And Father, we pray for your strength, for your empowerment. Father God, as they continue this journey with you, Father, would you help them every day wake up and understand and acknowledge who they are now. They are a king's kid. Father God, they have a new life, a new beginning. And like Rahab and like David, Lord God, Father God, their future is bright. Father God, they have a lineage now in the kingdom of heaven and as a child of God. And we give you praise today in Jesus' mighty name. We all said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Let's put our hands together one more time. So good.